Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. It's good to see everyone here this morning. We welcome Bella Winds here this morning. Part of them are here today. They're going to play extra hard for us. We do have a couple of announcements. The annual reports are due. It looks like there's a few still lingering, so get them to Ruth, please. And we do have our annual meeting coming up on January 22nd, so just to give you a heads up on that. Just a little bit about our bulletin today. Instead of a prayer of adoration, we're going to have a hymn of adoration. So you can see that at the end of the hymn, then we'll do the Lord's Prayer. Does anyone have anything they would like to bring up this morning or share with us? Please. Popcorn and all that stuff. Oh, yeah. Okay. Does anyone have anything else they would like to add this morning? Please.
Well, I just wanted to report back. The senior high 6 kids went to Winterfest last weekend. With myself, I'm still a little tired from that. It was a great time. And, you know, we'll see them worshiping. And we had some great small group discussions. And they had their games. But I know that Thomaston had a lock in last night, so some of the kids are probably home sleeping. But here, I can get with you to see if we can get them to share a little bit.
That'd be great. That'd be real good. Anything else anyone else would like to share with us this morning? Well, then let us stand now for our introit number 195, found in the blue hymn.
Thank you.
call to worship. People of God, arise, shine, for your light has come.
The light of Christ has come into the world. Emmanuel, God with us.
So arise, shine, for your light has come.
And we will follow the light when it shines brightly in the night sky, when it glows dimly on the horizon.
We will follow the light. We will lift up our eyes and look around, and when we see the Christ child,
may our hearts be overwhelmed with joy.
When we are in the presence of Emmanuel, may our knees bend in worship.
When our journey brings us finally to the heart of God, may our hands hold in generous sharing, may our mouths hold in generous praise. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's Old Testament reading is from Psalm 40, verses 1 through 11. Found on page 446 of your pew Bibles. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear, and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts towards us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and skin offering you have not required. Then I said, here I am. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is written within my heart. I have told the glad news of deliverance in the great congregation. See, I have not restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your saving help within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love and your faithfulness from the great congregation. Do not, O Lord, withhold your mercy from me. Let your steadfast love and your faithfulness keep me safe forever. The gospel reading today is John 1, verses 29 through 42 on page 862. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is my Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched, Jesus walked by. He exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
morning we continue on in the Psalms. In the scripture, there is no king who is the apple of God's eye like David. The heart of God has a special affection for the man who was later described by the Lord as a man after my heart, who will do all of my will, Acts 13:22. The Bible study on the life of David, however, would not reveal the perfect man, but rather a man who failed and sinned in many ways. God had given much to David, so much so that David didn't hold anything back when he was praising and thanking God for his many blessings. He wanted to worship the Lord with his music and let the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, fill him and lead him. He didn't care what the other people thought. He knew that God's opinion was the only one that mattered. Psalm 40 is a psalm of David that continues in the same line as some earlier psalms in 38 and 39. We find two clear themes emerging. Our continuous need for deliverance, which God will continually and faithfully supply, and the importance of testimony in the life of the believer. Psalm 40 opens with a dramatic story. David says that he was in a pit of destruction, a slimy pit that he couldn't escape on his own. In this hopeless situation, God heard David's prayers and he lifted him out, setting David's feet upon a rock and putting him in a new song in his mouth, a song of praise to God. He gave David a new life. We need to look at this pit as a metaphor. This was not literally a pit which God lifted David out of. It could have been a dangerous situation, like when he was running from Saul. Or it could have been a time when he was trapped in sin, like when he slept with Bathsheba and murdered her husband to cover it up. Or it may have been some of the other deep and dark defeats in David's life. Whatever it was, the situation seemed hopeless. But God dramatically turned it all around. I'll bet many of us here today can relate in some way or another to David's defeated and hopeless situation. His cries for help, just as we all share in the times of God's sudden and dramatic deliverance. David goes on in verse 4 and 5 to extol the Lord for all that he has done and to urge others to put their trust in God. He even says that God had done so many wonderful things in his life that David could never possibly declare all of them. I like verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Many years ago, when I was in college in New Haven, and that would be many, many years ago, there were three places that I would go see a concert. The best was the Hartford Civic Center, the other two were the New Haven Coliseum, and the third was Toad's Place. Toad's Place was a great place to see a show, or see an up-and-coming band, or a band that was past its prime, or a not-so-big act. There was one group that went from only drawing 100 people at the 700-capacity Toad's Place to a year later selling out the place, to the next year filling the New Haven Coliseum. Then in the spring of 1985, U2's The Unforgettable Fire Tour stopped in Hartford, and they sold out the Civic Center. On that mid-spring evening in the mid-80s, the Hartford Courant wrote that one could already hear the singer's passion for peace and justice. This was what could be called a rock and roll with a conscience. This was music infused with deep spirituality. In the final encore that evening, was a song 40, a lyrical adaptation of today's psalm, Psalm 40.
As the band left the stage one by one, the enthusiastic crowd continued the song's refrain. I will sing a new song. Even as the crowd poured out onto the streets around the Civic Center, huge bands of fans carried the tune out into the city. I will sing a new song. That refrain sprang forth from the psalmist's claim. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to God. What is the connection between being a Christian and the joy found in Psalm 40? Joy is part of the fruit that we should exhibit. There is nothing that can be more satisfying and joyful than knowing whose you are. At a conference in a Presbyterian church in Omaha, people were given helium balloons, balloons filled with helium, then they were told to release them at some point during the service when they felt the expression of joy had filled their hearts. Since they were Presbyterians, they weren't free to say hallelujah or praise the Lord. Although the service went through, the balloons started to ascend. But in the end, over one-third of all the balloons were never released. That's a problem with many Christians. They have trouble letting their balloons go. They have the joy down in their hearts, but they don't know how to let it go. The joy that we have in our hearts should be always expressed by our actions, and it should always help us to persevere through our hard times. The joy of salvation, knowing that heaven is ours. James 1, 2 through 4, my brethren, count all the joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience and perseverance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. When you come under attack because of your faith, this comes from the God of this world. How do you respond? James says that we should count it as joy. The testing of our faith produces patience, which produces more faith. Some do not respond with patiently waiting on the Lord. They will turn and they will run away, thinking that God has abandoned them. This church has experienced some testing over the past year, but we need to focus on the fact that every negative experience we have is only temporary. God has promised to bless those who are obedient to him. Paul wrote about how to respond to adversity. Be anxious about nothing. Put in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. We have the joy of knowing that we have a Savior who hears when we pray, who is always available, and has experienced all the same things that we are going through, and he never gave in. You have the joy of knowing that you have been saved by the blood of the Lamb, sanctified by the grace of God, have been given the promise of eternal life, and the power of the Holy Spirit to help you wade through all of your difficulties. One of the names that God used by Israel was Jehovah Nissi, God our banner. Jesus Christ is our banner. He goes before us into battle and always proclaims the way of victory. If you have ever trusted Jesus as your Savior and invited him to be the Lord of your life, your joy should be in knowing that he is always by your side. The joy of living for Jesus until he returns. We live in the greatest Christian nation in the history of the world. Our greatness does not come from who we are, but by whose name we are called. We serve a great God. We believe he has inspired his word through the Holy Spirit. We live in this great and free nation where we are allowed to worship who we choose. The fact that we are a Bible-believing church and that we are a Christian nation opens the door for us to believe that even though others shall rise up against us, we can live for Christ until he comes again. And the joy of living for Christ becomes tied to the promise given to us. Psalm 23:5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It is ironic that devout Christians and Satan's cohorts coexist in the same nation. But right in the middle of Satan's world, God is setting a table for us with all of the good things. All his promises are set before us to receive right in the middle of the enemy's strongholds. Living for Jesus right now becomes a joy in our lives. Psalm 23:5 continues. You anoint my head with oil, the Holy Spirit. My cup runneth over. There is joy that comes from eating at the Lord's table, and it is ours. The joy of waiting for the promise. Our hope is in the return of Christ. We know that it is going to happen. We just don't know exactly when. Our joy is not something that is expressly designed for the future. What has happened in the past, what is happening now, and the promise of the future are all contained in our joyful hope. God is preparing a table for us in the presence of the enemy. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us and will come again to receive us unto himself. The promise itself is enough to help us persevere, but we have the joy in our spiritual nature to endure till the promise comes. Revelation 22:12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. In verse 17, and the spirit of the bride says, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water freely. The second coming of Jesus is the future event, but the water can quench our spiritual thirst is right now. Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow waters of living water. Rivers of living water. What do you think? Are you able to persevere? Is the joy you have in your heart enough to keep you until Jesus comes again? Are you searching for more joy? Last week I discussed Buffalo Bills' Damar Hamlin, who, by the way, was released from the hospital and is getting better each and every day. Well, afterwards I started to think about ex-football player Tim Tebow, who was harshly bashed in the years past by the same ESPN stations, which encourage us now to pray for Damar. The ordeal was made about Tebow's relationship with Christ, it was perplexing. They had bashed Tebow for kneeling for prayer prior to games and for putting scripture on his eye black. He certainly was not the first professional athlete or football player to confess Jesus as his Lord. Known for his faith, Tebow does everything he can to inspire others. On Thursday, he tweeted in context of praying for Damar, one day we'll see the big picture. One day we'll see this puzzle all put together, how it all works out. But until then, let's rejoice. Let's remember that the Lord is near. And let's express our confidence in our God because we trust his plan. David was more needing of God to save him by lifting him out of the slimy pit time after time and safely setting him back on the solid footing of God's rock. God says a man after my heart, because God wanted David, wants us to need him, to lean on him, to listen to him, and to pray to him for guidance. I view Tim Tebow as more of a modern day someone God could say, a man after my own heart. Because Tebow speaks and lives much of the later verses in Psalm 40. Here I am, I desire to do your will. I do not seal my lips. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth. While Tebow was a quarterback with the Denver Broncos, in a radio interview with an Arizona Cardinal quarterback, Jake Plummer, commented on Tebow. He said, regardless of whether I wish he'd just shut up after a game and go hug his teammates, I think he's a winner and I respect a lot about him, but I think that when he accepts the fact that we know that he loves Jesus Christ, then I think I'll like him a lot better. I don't hate him because of that. I just would rather not have to hear it every time he takes a good snap or gives a good handoff. Following day, when asked about it, Plummer commented during an interview on ESPN. Tebow said, if you're married and you have a wife and you really love your wife, is it good enough to say to your wife, I love her, the day that you get married, and that's it? Or should you tell her every single day when you wake up and every opportunity? And that's how I feel about my relationship with Jesus Christ, is that it is the most important thing in my life. So anytime I get the opportunity to tell him that I love him, or given the opportunity to shout out to him on national television, I'm going to take that opportunity. And so I look at the relationship that I have with him, and I want to give him the honor and the glory anytime I have the opportunity. And then right after that, and after I give him all the honor and glory, then I always try to give my teammates honor and glory. And that's how it works, because Christ comes first in my life, and then my family, and then my teammates. I respect Jake's opinion, and I really appreciate that he complimented on calling me a winner, but I feel any time I get the opportunity to give the Lord some praise, he's due for it. Well, 20 years after the unforgettable Fire Tour, U2's Bono would be nominated for Nobel Peace Prize. Students of Divinity would read his theology and experiment with alternative services of Holy Communion set to the music of U2. Bono would gain the audience of heads of state and wield his celebrity status to assist the poorest of the poor throughout the world. In modern times, both Bono and Tebow stand solidly on God's rock of righteousness and deliver in the importance of testimony in the life of the believer. Well, earlier in Tebow's college career, when he was a starting quarterback for the Florida Gators, he watched as players would smear the black under their eyes to make their little bit of vision better. I don't think it really works, but it looks cool. But they would inscribe mom or their girlfriend's name or something like that. And he started to think about it, and he says, what can I do? What can I put on there? So he said he felt God had told him to put Philippians 4:13. The verse says, I can do all things in Christ who give me strength. Well, the team was winning game after game, and then finally it came down to one game where he thought he would change the verse under his eyes. But he had to discuss it with his coaches first, and he got their blessing. Well, he changed the verse. He went to John 3:16. He went to John 3:16 on the night of the national championship game. They won the game, and Tebow was told later, there were 94 million hits on Google searching for John 3:16. You, me, all can make a difference. We do make a difference when we say how we feel, when people see how we act, and yes, sometimes we shine the brightest when we do the simplest things. So with confidence, sing to the Lord. Your words have the power to glorify God. Rejoice in your Savior. Let go of your balloon. Whatever you do in thought, word, and deed, you must do it all for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians. Amen. Would you please bow in prayer with me? Eternal God, we praise you for all that you have given us, for all that you have done for us, for all that we take for granted. In our weakness, you are strength. In our darkness, you are the light. In our sorrow, you are our comfort and you are our peace. We cannot number our blessings. We cannot declare your love. Father God, you are our healer. You are the one who makes bodies whole. You mend marriages. You bind up the broken hearts. And through you, you heal various means. You use doctors, medicine, surgeries. You use loving friends. You use a church. You use forgiveness. You are the source of all health and healing. You are the one who defines wholeness and who gives it as a gift. We lift up now people in our lives that we know who are in need of healing, Father. I lift up Mike Bergamo.
Lord, I lift up my mom and my sister and her entire family as they battle COVID. I also ask for the doctors to be able to take good care of David Cameron.
Father God, we know that you hear our prayers, those said out loud and those said silently. And you know those that are deep in our heart that we are not saying. But Father, we pray for continued healing in our church for those who are broken. You see their places, Lord, even when we don't see them. We pray for healing of our fears, our sadness, and our inner brokenness. Father, make us whole persons that you have created and those who you have saved us to be, Father. We know, Lord, that the full healing doesn't quite come in this life, that we look forward to the time when we shall stand before you completed, made perfect through your grace. And in the meanwhile, may we discover more of your wholeness each and every day. And for all your blessings, we bless you. May we live as in your presence and love the things that you love and serve you in our daily lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Father God, with great joy in our hearts, we give back to you. We thank you and praise you for all that you do in our lives. And let us not take that for granted one minute. We praise you and thank you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Afterwards, let us go out into this week knowing that we do have joy in our heart. People do look to us, they do listen to us. We are an example before God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord, it endures forever. Go in his peace.